We're good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again for this opportunity to look at your word. We thank you, Lord, for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're saying. And Lord, I'd also ask that you even speak to each and every one here beyond what I say, but they would hear what you say. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We ask you to have your way here. May we all be yielded to your direction. Lord, we thank you for what you have in store for us. I ask you, Lord, to even speak to me as I speak, that my tongue would be like the pen of a ready writer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, uniquely empowered. You know, I think all of us here are mature enough to know that it's God's heart and will to do signs and wonders and miracles in the earth. And we see them, we read about them, we look in the Bible, we see references to all the workings of God. And yet, for me, this assignment has challenged me because that's always been on my heart. I'll say one of my passions is learning how to receive from God, how to flow with God. And yet, I look and I see various ministries that are just booming with signs, wonders, and miracles. And a true confession, mine lags. And I'm sorry to say that, but that's just where we're at. I want to see more. And so this assignment has been awesome because it's caused me to press into the Lord and look and see, Lord, what are you going to show me? Because I want more. I'm sure that you want more. How would you like for every person you lay hands on to get healed? That's the Father's heart. You know how we know that? Mark 16, 17, and 18 says, these signs will follow believers. And one of those signs is they lay their hands on the sick and they would recover. Not they might, not maybe someday, but they would recover. That's my heart. Lord, when I lay hands on people, I want them to recover. I don't mind a process, but I love instantaneous. Praise God. And so, you know, Jesus is our example. I mean, he really set the bar high. And, you know, there may be some here who think, yeah, but he was God. And he was God. But Philippians chapter 2 says that he emptied himself and became as a man. So when he operated here on the earth, he operated as a man. You know, if he operated as God, and I see all the miracles, I'm impressed. But I'm not inspired to follow. Because I'm not a God. I'm not the God. But if he operated as a man, inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he's a prototype, you know, he's the firstborn among many brothers. If he's my big brother, then I'm inspired to do what my big brother does. Praise God. And so, as I look, you know, we see that Jesus said that he could do nothing of himself. But just what the Father said. So if you would, turn with me to John chapter 15. And if Jesus needed the power of the Holy Spirit, the leading of God, if he needed to hear from God, because he said, I only do what I see my Father do, I only say what I hear the Father say, then we're going to need to have that fellowship, that relationship. You know, because we're not going to do anything of ourselves. Like it says in Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Not by our might, not by our power, but the power of Holy Spirit. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Holy Spirit is the spirit of power. You're not going to have a demonstration of power without Holy Spirit. I mean, even in Genesis 1, we see Holy Spirit moving as God speaks, light be. Holy Spirit goes into action. But you notice God spoke. And we're going to have our opportunities to speak into situations and see God move. So in here in John 15, I just want to begin kind of elementary, but we'll just hit on these points, that we cannot do this alone. It's not by our might and our power. And so here in John 15 and verse 4, Jesus is sharing with his disciples. And in verse 4, he says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine." He's our source. The only way we're going to function is and be effective and be fruitful is with him. He says, "Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Verse 6 goes on and says, "If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned." Verse 7, "If you remain in me and my words," that's not logos, that's rhema. My rhema words, my freshly spoken words. And you can get those by the Spirit spoken into your heart, or you can be reading the Bible and God will quicken a word to you. And that's a freshly spoken word from God. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you." Notice, he says remain in me, or other versions use abide. But it's to stay hooked up, to stay connected. That's the only way we're going to be fruitful. He uses the example here of a branch hooked into a vine, or we could say the branch in the trunk of the tree. If it's disconnected, it withers and dies. But we're not like that, amen? Amen. Amen. We're connected. So, and the reason he says to abide in him, to remain in him, is because whatever you focus on, that's what you empower. If you focus on him, that power flows in you and through you. I remember years and years ago, we were in a denominational church, and we had a prayer group, and a prophetic word came forth, not too many of them, but there were their occasional prophetic word, and they were accurate. But it was Christmas time, and the prophetic word that came forth was, "Be bold, for this is a time of high power for me." And immediately we all picked that up. Why? Because there's more focus on the Lord. Whatever you focus on, that's what you empower. You know, we know it in the natural. People focus on golf. I mean, that's all they can think about is golf, golf, golf. You know, on the opposite side, various sins. People focus on them, they yield to them. Same thing with us. We focus on Jesus, there'll be power flowing in us and through us. Just a side note, you guys remember Luke 10, Mary and Martha? And Jesus is there and he is sharing words of life. And Martha is busy preparing food and all that kind of stuff. She gets upset. And the Lord says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things, but Mary has chosen that one thing. The one thing is to spend time at the Lord's feet, to focus on him." Even the word encourages us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And, I mean, if we're going to be doers of the word, we're going to see the power flow. And so, it's interesting. I remember a minister back in Bible school, when I went to Bible school, he said, "Pray more, know more." And, you know, for many, that word pray, that means ask. But that's not what pray is. It includes asking, but what it means is fellowship. It means communion. It means interaction. We not only talk to him, but we listen to hear what he has to say. Pray more, know more. I know years past, I mean, I'd be spending time with the Lord. My kids were younger. My daughter's in high school. God would tell me when she's messing around, when she's doing things she wasn't supposed to do. I'd know. I'd call her up. Where are you at? You ain't supposed to be there. But the Holy Spirit will reveal things to us. He'll reveal to us how to help others. And so the Lord has given me 3 points to focus on to help us flow with the Spirit of God, to flow in power, to let him operate through us. And the first one is to know who you are, or to know whose you are. And maybe you're thinking, well, I know who I am. I'm a child of God. Yeah, he's God. But you know, you can know that more. You know, it's one thing to know who you are. It's another thing to have it in your heart. I mean, when it's in your heart, that's when things happen. You know, there was a time my son was in preschool. It was a Christian preschool. And he's bringing home his weekly memory verse. And I remember this one week in particular. He comes home with Psalm 145, 9. Anybody know that verse? The Lord is good to all and has compassion on all he has made. So I'm working on that verse with my son. We're getting it in him. We're getting it memorized. I got it memorized. And one night, I'm going to bed. I blow my nose, and I've got the bloody nose of bloody noses. I mean, it's not dripping out my nose. It's running out my nose. And, you know, I'm thinking, man, I never had one like this before. This is a real one. And the next thought is, how am I going to get this thing stopped? You know, maybe I can do some ice on my nose or something like that. You know, stick a plug up there or do something. And the Lord reminded me of that verse. The Lord is good to all and has compassion on all he has made. So I'm leaning over the bathroom sink, draining. And I just put my hand up there and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you blood to coagulate. Stopped. Healed. I mean, fellowship with the Lord pays off. Know who you are and whose you are. I'm a child of God. He has compassion on all he has made. And that goes worldwide. We see somebody out there on the street, the Lord loves them. He has a destiny for them. He wants to touch them. He wants to minister to them and eventually through them. That's his heart's desire. He loves people. Second point the Lord gave me is to know your mission. Or we could say, know his mission for you. Because when you're on a mission, there's focus. There's purpose. I had a time once, a friend of mine lived in Seattle. I'm up here. He calls me. He's got issues going on in his life. And I'm praying for him, and I feel like the Lord say, you need to go down and encourage him. Man, I am buying my tickets. I'm ready to rock and roll. But I'm on a mission, but I'm not just focused on my friend. I know that God's got a greater, bigger purpose. And so, I mean, I get to the ticket agent. I'm talking with them about Jesus. Till the line gets too long. I'm on the plane. I'm talking with the people next to me about Jesus. And it's incredible. They're open. I get to Seattle. And I didn't rent a car. I took a shuttle bus. Plan of God. I'm on the bus and I'm sitting there and there's 10 people in there. We're all just moving down I-5, heading for our destination. And I start feeling like, how many in here know Jesus? How many in here need Jesus? And so I start talking. Anybody in here believe that God's real? I mean, it gets to everybody's attention. I mean, there's somebody talking. It's like, ladies, you have to excuse me. I've never been in your side of the bathroom. Well, yes, I have. I'll talk about that later. But in a men's room. I mean, you're in the airport. You go in the men's room. 20 guys in there. They ain't a word spoken unless somebody's on their cell phone. Same thing on this bus. Nobody talking. I've got a captive audience. Praise the Lord. I get to share the love of God for a half an hour. I mean, I stop to take a breath, and one guy goes to me, are you a preacher? I'm like, no, I just love Jesus. But I'm on a mission. Sure, I get to my friends, but I know there's all these other areas. God just isn't so focused. He wants to take in this, that, and everything along the way. Do we know God's mission for us? Do we have it in our heart? You know, that's why Jesus could do what he did. What did he start off with? Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Nancy brought that up this morning. Jesus was rooted and grounded in it. She said that's one of the verses that God brought to her to show her his mission. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. If we're going to do what Jesus did, we got to have what Jesus had. We got to have that same anointing. We got to have that same Spirit on us. We can't do this alone. Third point. I noticed this in all the times where there's signs, wonders, and miracles in the Bible, other than the occasional time where God moves sovereignly. Be bold, take chances. Be bold, step out. Number three. Psalm 28:1. It's on the wall up there in one of those, what do you call those things? Posters, whatever. Psalm 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the last part of the verse is, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. I had an opportunity just a few weeks ago. Our son Jack is gillnetting for his first time this year. Nobody ever taught him. Nobody ever showed him. And he's down past Tree Point gillnetting. And he is having a little challenge because he keeps getting the net and the prop. And after about the seventh or eighth time, the guy running the tender tells him, don't come back here unless you got a net guard, a net hoop on the back of your boat. So Jack comes back to town and he's like, Dan, I need to get a net hoop on the back of my boat. Think you could help me? I'm like, sure. I think I got a piece of pipe, you know, inch and quarter thick galvanized pipe. We could get it. So anyway, we measure up the boat. It needs to be 9'10" inside to inside. So I grab the pipe. I run up to Channel Electric. I'm like, hey, I need this bent and I need it in a 90-degree hoop and I need it 9'10" on the inside. And the guy there goes, I don't know how to do the math on that. And the guy that does, he's going to be gone for days. Come and get, I'll call you when it's done. I said, I can't wait. My son's got to go fishing. I said, I'll do the math. Do I know how to do the math? I have no idea what I'm talking about. But I'm trusting in him. I'm being bold. I'm taking chances here. So we go out. I'm like, okay, what's the first thing I do? Let's find the middle of the pipe. Okay, there's the middle of the pipe. Measure off, what's that? Half of 9'10" is, I don't know, I don't remember the number, 4'11". So I measure out, and I mark it, and I measure out, mark it. We stick it in the bender, and it bends, and it's like, whoa, it's off. I got one more chance at this. Where do I go? Where do I go on the other end? And I'm like, Lord, I need help. This thought comes to me. add 8 inches. I'm like, this is either going to be really good or really bad. Add 8 inches, stick it in the bender, up it comes. I'm like, wow. I hand him the tape measure. We measure across there. It wasn't off 1/16 of an inch. It was exact. He does everything well. Amen. Praise God. Third point, be bold. Take chances. Step out. Give him an opportunity to do his stuff. You know, we have lots of clubs and institutions and whatnot that help people. I mean, we various places feed the sick, various places house, you know, various places do all these things, and even our churches too. And I'm not saying that it's wrong or it's bad, but where's the power of God? I mean, we can, all some of the stuff that the church is doing, I mean, Rotary can do and the Moose Club can do. But they can't heal the sick. They can't raise the dead. But we can. Amen. And it's His heart and desire that we do. Amen, Brother Dan. Good preaching. Hallelujah. So let's take a look at David. Glory to God. Let's look at David back in 1 Samuel. Now, I was wondering if Sarah wasn't going to go there on me, but she didn't. 1 Samuel. Let me see. I got a few notes here. Know who you are was the first point. 1 Samuel chapter 14. At least I think that's where I'm going. It should be marked here. No, it's chapter 16. Verse 1. Here's David. He's a good shepherd boy doing what Dad told him to do. But David, as we know, was a man after God's own heart. God told us that. So he's out taking care of his sheep, but what's he doing? He's abiding. He's remaining. He's having fellowship with the Lord, and his heart is growing. His faith in God is growing, and he is becoming a mighty man of God. But there one day, in chapter 16, verse 1, he gets a visit. Verse 1 of chapter 16, the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul since I've rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Over in verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him, that's David, in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. What happened in that encounter? The prophet came, anointed him. David got to know he's king. He is king. Now, that doesn't manifest for years, but it's growing in his heart. It's like Jesus, when he was 12 years old, he knew in his heart, I must be about my Father's business. I mean, he stays in the temple and the family leaves without him. They're gone 3 days before they miss him. But he knows, I got to be about my Father's business. He knows, he's getting a revelation of who he is. I'm the Christ. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Son of God. What do we have for a revelation of who we are? David here, he's getting a revelation. He's the Son of God, or he's the King. Let's turn over to chapter 17. Well, maybe we'll wait on that. He's getting a revelation of who he is. And it's growing in him. Where did Jesus start finding himself? Finding out who he was and what he had.
When he went out to pray, maybe, by himself?
Out to pray? That's a good one.
By himself.
But he found himself also in the Word of God. Because he found himself in Isaiah 61. He found himself. He found his assignment. What else did he find? He found his weapons. When he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, when he was tempted, he was ready with the sword of the Spirit. It is written. And he defeated the devil. But the point is, do we know who we are? Have we meditated on that? You know, for myself, there's lots of stuff I know up here. But there's not even half of it that I have in here. Because as a man believeth in his heart, so is he. What do we believe in our hearts? And it's meditation that brings it from here to here. Do we know that we're righteous? I mean, if I was to ask you, are you in right standing with God? I know most, if not all of you, would say absolutely. But there's a power that comes. I mean, the deeper it gets in you, the more confidence rises up. The boldness, the assurance, I'm a child of God. I'm in right standing with God. God will back me up. When I step out for Him and His mission, He will back me up. You know what? He'll even back you up if you miss it. You know, we have biblical examples. You take a look at Moses. Moses got his calling from the Lord, got his mission from the Lord to let God's people go. And guess what? He's getting them out of there. Been through the Red Sea. Now they're out in the wilderness and they don't have any water. And he's praying, God, what do we do? And God says, strike the rock with your staff. It's a prophetic picture of the striking of Jesus. He strikes the rock, water comes out. Next instance they get where they're out of water. Again, he's getting all frustrated because the people are mad at him and everything. And he goes to the Lord and the Lord says, speak to the rock. Don't strike it because he's already been struck. But he strikes the rock anyway. Now, he is a man called of God, on a mission for God, but he missed it. So did God say, okay, no water today? No. Water came forth anyway. God backed up his minister. Now, I'm not encouraging anybody to miss it. I'm just saying that when God anoints you, calls you, and you're on his mission, he will back you up. He'll back me up. He'll back us up. When we get bold and we step out for the Lord, expect him to move. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. We'll go to 5. We'll skip 2 Corinthians chapter 5 because y'all know that you're righteous. You're in right standing with God. Here in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, writes, for if by the trespass of the one man, who's that one man?
Adam.
Death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness, let's just stop there. There's still more to the verse. But what the point that I want to point out is here, he's saying receive. There's a depth of reception. You can receive something, a gift, and set it on the shelf. It's not valued. It's not appreciated. Something to look at, kind of nice. But when that gift is valued and appreciated, you use it. You meditate on it. You are grateful for it. And guess what? That gift will bring you great blessing. Another thing about a gift, your right standing with God, it's a gift. Everybody say gift.
Gift.
You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. It's a gift. What that means is you can't lose it. On your good, bad, and ugly days, you're still the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What that means is I'm still in right standing with Him. You know, in Hebrews 4 says, this is the wrong verse. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. When do you need mercy? You need mercy when you missed it. But He still says, come boldly. You can come boldly because I'm still in right standing with God. Even though I missed it, I'm still in right standing. I didn't lose it. So He says, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Notice, not on our own, through Jesus Christ, in unity with Him, in fellowship with Him. We can do nothing by ourselves. Reign in life. Do you know what reign in life means? Rule like a king. That's His design for us. His plan. This isn't Dan's plan. This is God's plan. We're to rule in life. That means He's given us authority. I mean, and we see that with the commission of His disciples for the 12, for the 72. He gives them power and authority to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out lepers. No, cast out demons. Cleanse lepers. Sorry about that. Don't cast out the lepers. But you know, just a side note, you know what? They weren't born again yet. Jesus hadn't died. And yet, they're operating under His anointing. And I don't know how all that works, but I do know that He did tell them on the day of Pentecost to tarry or to wait in Jerusalem until the gift of the Father, and they'd receive power when the Holy Spirit came. So at this time, pre-Pentecost, they're operating in His anointing, in His authority. Kind of an umbrella policy, I'll say. But when the day of Pentecost comes, all of a sudden, they get their own Holy Spirit. They get their own authority and power. So, let's go. Well, we've already talked about Jesus. Well, let's go there anyway. How much time do I have? So I still got an hour?
I thought
I'll take my lesson from Nancy. Woohoo! She set the standard. Glory to God. Okay, but let's have a quick look over at Isaiah 61. Thank you, Jesus.
I thought y'all were ended.
We've only just begun. This is the introduction. Isaiah 61 is actually Jesus' mission statement. Now, the outworking of it was to reveal the Father. You know, because Jesus was sent to an orphan planet because man had sinned and separated from God. And so God sends His Son to an orphan planet to reveal the Father, to reveal a Father they've never seen. Nothing before then adequately revealed the heart of the Father, the love of God, the compassion of God, the generosity of God. Matter of fact, they probably had the opposite opinion. You know, do bad, get beat. Do good, get blessed. Do you have something? Isaiah 61, we mentioned this before, but I just want to touch on it for a second because it's our mission statement. It's Jesus' mission statement. It's ours. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. That's the first thing. Bind up the brokenhearted. This is the NIV. I think we just saw an example of that. Hallelujah. To proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now that's where Jesus stopped. But I actually, Nancy said this morning, it continues through the whole chapter. But that's our mission too. To open eyes that are blind, to set captives free, to heal broken hearts. I mean, when we know that, I mean, it makes it very clear what we're called to. You know, for me, another thing that's helpful for me when I'm wondering, Lord, what do you want to do here, is I go back to John 10:10. The thief comes only to
kill,
steal,
destroy.
Amen. But I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly.
Amen.
Amen. So when I get in a situation, you know, if there's something killing, stealing, and destroying, I rebuke it. I take authority over it. And I pray in or usher in the abundant life that God has. Minister, maybe through the laying on of hands or whatever. But bring in the life of God. You know, I'm just reminded, I had on our boat, well, this summer, but this occasion happened 5 years ago or so, five guys from Boise. Great group of guys. Most of them are saved. All of them are unchurched. They don't know nothing about God other than Jesus is their Savior. That's it. And so I got these guys on the boat, and this one guy in particular, I mean, two of these guys are Apache helicopter pilots. I mean, they've been in the thick of the thick. And one of the helicopter pilots, we spent most of our time talking about the difference between religion and relationship. This guy is, that's all he's had in his life is religion. No relationship. And so I'm talking to him about the difference, that they are totally different, that, you know, Jesus is the relationship. He's not the church. He's not all this junk that you've experienced. He's your Savior. Anyway, so we talk about that. We get into port. We're unloading the boat. He turns, moves something too heavy, and his back goes out. He can't hardly move. And I turned to him and I'm like, Rodney, what happened? No, he says, about once a year this happens. Takes me a week to recover. And I said, can I pray for you? And I mean, he's a little reluctant. But I'm the captain, right? How do you tell the captain no? And it's immediately, I mean, the other guys are standing around there. They all take off their hats and bow their heads. I'm like, man, these guys are reverent. This is good. We're going somewhere here. So Rodney's sitting down. And I said, Rodney, God's word said that these signs would follow believers. They'd lay their hands on the sick and they'd recover. So I said, can I put my hands on your shoulders? He goes, yeah, that'd be fine. I put my hands on his shoulder and I'm thinking, Lord, what do I pray? I just said, Lord, show Rodney how much you love him. And then I felt like I got a word for him. I said, Rodney, I think you ought to go up and lay down for a couple minutes. And he's rough and tough. No, I'll finish up what I'm doing, and then I'll go lay down. And so I get carried away, you know, orchestrating all the stuff going on the boat. And 15 minutes, I'm up. And Rodney, he's out and about. I'm like, Rodney. And he looks at me and he smiles. He goes, you don't know what happened, do you? I'm like, no, I don't. He says, well, when you laid hands on me, it was like fire went down my back. I said, I didn't feel a thing. And he says, so I went up and I laid down for 2 minutes, rolled over, got up, and I'm totally healed. Well, praise the Lord. You know, because, I mean, that led to texts and emails for months, just encouraging him in his relationship with the Lord. Anyway, he was back this year, and we had to get back on track again because he was totally over in the world. And so let's move over this. We've talked about who we are, the righteousness of God in Christ, which is just the tip of the iceberg. But it's essential if we're gonna cooperate with God and see signs, wonders, and miracles. We have to know our mission. It'll keep us focused. It'll keep us on course. Plus, it gives us boldness. I mean, when we know who we are and what we're about, our Father's business, I mean, at 12 years old, Jesus is taking on Mom and Dad. What the heck are you doing? I got to be about my Father's business. I mean, there's a boldness on a 12-year-old. Glory to God. So, knowing who we are and our mission, it'll both, and our relationship with the Lord, spending time with Him, it'll empower us. It'll give us a boldness and a confidence. I'm just thinking of Peter and John. You guys remember Acts chapter 3? Peter and John, this is after Jesus is resurrected. Peter and John, they're going into the temple. And there's a lame man that's sat there every day to beg. That's his job. And he asks of Peter and John for something. And what's their response? Anybody got that verse memorized? Amen. Rise up and walk. Amen. Notice, he's asking for silver and gold. Peter answers right away. I ain't got my wallet on me, but I got something way better than a wallet. What I have. He knew what he had. Do we know what we've got? Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ, the anointed one and his anointing. The hope. You know what biblical hope is? You know, for a long time I thought hope was wishing, wanting, and desiring. Biblical hope is confident expectation of good. Christ in us, the hope of glory. What's the glory? Glory is when God manifests himself. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's deliverance. Whatever it may be. The hope of glory. Jesus is there, ready, willing, and able. You know, we don't have to twist his arm. This is all his idea. And the more I get it in my heart, the bolder I am, more confident I get. I mean, I step out and take risks. You know, it was interesting. We had a pastor, a different pastor, another pastor, stay with us. Was it Monday night or Tuesday night? Jim from Anchorage? Anyway, he's staying with us. We're spending time with him. And I am amazed how many of God's ministers are, well, they need a cattle prod or something. I mean, I'm not much different, but they need like a jump start. But, I mean, we're talking and the fog has moved in, and he's not going to get out on his plane. And his prayer is, God, if you could move the fog, I'd appreciate it. And I said to him, maybe God's given us the authority. And he looked at me like a cow at a new gate. And I said, what if, like Jesus spoke to that storm, we're supposed to speak to the fog? Anyway, things didn't go too well after that, because then he started talking about presumption. And I started talking about, hold it. If we're spending time with God and we get to know his heart, when we do what's in his heart, we're not being presumptuous. When we're following the example of Jesus, we're not being presumptuous. Anyway, it stirred a little something in him, so he did ask if we could speak to the weather. And we did, and he got out on his jet. But a great thing was a testimony that he gave. He has a young man that is quite on fire for the Lord. Well, this young man has a friend come stay with him for a couple days. He's on his way to some meetings down in the lower 48 where such and such a minister, he hopes to have such and such a minister lay hands on him because he is very, very sick. And he needs healing because the doctors can't give it. And the young man, look at this, knowing who you are, knowing what your mission is, and being bold, the young man says, you don't have to go to that meeting. I can lay hands on you right here. And the testimony was, the young man laid hands on him, and within a couple of days, his symptoms were all leaving. We've got boldness. I mean, the scripture says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Do you know that boldness is in us? It's there. Like the fruit of the Spirit. We may need to grow a little in patience, but it's in there. We just need to stir it up. Same thing with boldness. You want boldness to grow? Step out. Start doing it. Take a chance. I mean, that cashier in the grocery store, they're coughing their head off. Can I pray for you? I mean, I've had them look up at me like, I said, you got your hand right there? Can I touch it? I pray for them. We can. We can see. If we'll be bold, God, it says, and they went out and preached the word everywhere. This is the last verse in the book of Mark. They went out and preached the word everywhere, and the Lord confirmed his word with signs following. Amen. We be bold and we step out for Jesus. He'll confirm his word. He'll confirm his ministers. You know, and the world is longing to see signs and wonders and miracles. I mean, you know, we've got these shows on TV, and I haven't watched TV in years, but I did watch one once where there was some guy on there, he was some kind of a prophet thing and, you know, doing some stuff. But it wasn't Jesus' stuff. But praise the Lord, we've got the real deal, and it's his heart. So, as we meditate and grow in who we are and who he is, his willingness. I'll tell you, I had a time where I got this pain going on in my side. It's not all the time, but there's times when it's just like, I mean, it would just double me over. It's like somebody's stabbing me in the side with an ice pick. I know there's something not going right in there. And so I've been praying and praying and praying, and things aren't getting any better. And so I decided, okay, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything till I get some direction from the Lord somewhere. Holy Spirit wants to guide me into truth that's going to set me free. There's something here I don't know, because I know it's God's will that I be healed. So, we all have stuff that's mandatory in our lives. But there's other stuff that's just peripheral. And we can set it aside. It can be delayed, put off. And I made time for the Lord. I said, Lord, where do I go? I get this thought. Look at the healing miracles of Jesus. Maybe you get some revelation there. First verse I open up to. Mark 1:40. The leper comes to Jesus. Falls at his knees and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. I saw it right away. I could pray for other people. I knew God was willing to heal them. But I knew myself. Dan wasn't too good of a picture. I saw my own faults, my own shortcomings. And in that moment, God said, I'm willing to heal you, Dan. Changed my life. I said, okay, Lord, how do we do this? He wanted me to go have another minister lay hands on me. And I was like, Lord, I want this just between you and me. Silence. I'm like, okay, I'll go have him lay hands on me. I did. Did it change the first day? No, still there. Changed the second day? I don't know, because it was about the fourth day, and I'm wondering, when did it leave? But you know, if he'll do that for me, for us, he desires to do it through us. Amen. How are we doing on time? I forgot to look when we started. Well, I think we're supposed to have a Q&A. Hold it. I got a sermon illustration. Glory to God. I need help. Can you help me out? Give everybody about 3 or 4 of those. Can you help me too? So while we're passing out our sermon illustration, any questions? This is a Q&A time. I don't know if I've got answers, but I know that Holy Spirit knows everything.